On any given night across the U.S., around 670,000 people experience homelessness. 37% are in families, 63% are alone. Tonight, 24 of those homeless individuals will find shelter at an unusual place. The Harvard Square Homeless Shelter has been up and operating in Cambridge, Massachusetts for 25 years. It's unique in that it's run entirely by students who go to Harvard University. It's open 5 months out of the year, basically the winter months, and it provides a place to sleep for 24 men and women and hot meals for many more. I went to visit the students working at the shelter recently and found them in a very busy kitchen. I asked junior Jacob Cederbaum what's on the menu.
Tonight we have pasta, quiche, potatoes, and I think rice also. And we also got a big donation of pizza from a local place.
How does the food get from the dining hall to here?
Volunteers go out with a shopping cart that we acquired a ways back, and they push it through the streets of Cambridge over the dining halls and pick up the food there.
Next, junior Kristen Cronin, another volunteer, shows me where the men sleep in bunk beds. They're assigned beds for 2 weeks at a time.
You can kind of see how people make their nests, though, and oftentimes in the morning when we're cleaning up, we'll find, like, plates of food and, like, mugs that had hot chocolate in them that people kind of were, like, nesting up with in their beds.
Now tell me your dorm room doesn't have that, too.
It's exactly like my dorm room, especially this week during finals.
More than 150 Harvard students volunteer at the shelter, and Jacob Cederbaum says, coming from Evanston, Illinois, he was surprised to find the guests, as the homeless men and women are called, are so engaged in current events.
One moment that always, or one like conversation that always sticks with me is, and this was back last year, I guess, like when all of the debate about healthcare reform was happening, and I got myself into a really serious discussion with one of our guests about, like, the minutiae of Obama's health reform plan. And, you know, like, I consider myself a political person, like, into discussing that. And he really, you know, fought me on stuff. He was really intellectually, like, quick. He was up on current events. And it really challenged, like, a lot of my preconceived notions. I think a lot of people's notion, you know, these are just, you know, people who are as smart, if not, like, smarter than me in some ways, and, like, obviously deserve, like, as much respect as anybody.
It's kind of the moments when guests almost reach out to me.
Where are you from, and what was your interaction or preconceived notions about homeless, people who are homeless, and what did you learn when you first started working here?
I'm from Winchester, Massachusetts, which is like 20 minutes away. A lot of our new volunteers, myself included, kind of come in expecting to give or to teach something. And actually, I'd say that it ends up more towards the other end of I'm, you know, receiving and learning when I'm in the shelter. And I think, I think that's a really important part of working here, is that you shouldn't just expect to be like serving food and, you know, keeping the place clean, and you should definitely expect the kinds of conversations where guests are also offering you advice and, you know, asking you about your day. I feel that I learn and receive a lot more than I am able to give here.
We're also joined by a former guest at the shelter, George Caponigro. How did this shelter affect you?
I had a couple of things. I had bipolarism, and I was an alcoholic, which led to my downward spiral and eventually caused me to spend 3 years on the streets of Boston. I wouldn't go into the shelters to live. How could I? And a counselor at St. Francis House Shelter kept saying to me every day, I would go there for breakfast, or I'd go there for a shower, or I'd go there to get clothes or a blanket, George, you got to get off the streets. You don't belong on the streets. And I said, I have nowhere to go. So he said to me one day, George, I have a place for you to go. I want you to try it. Go to the Lutheran shelter in Cambridge. It's not the system. It's run by college kids. Try it. If you don't like it, walk out. And it changed the course of my life.
What is it about this shelter that is so different?
It's... when I walked in here and when I saw you interviewing these two, It's the twinkle in their eye. It's their enthusiasm. It's their love and care. They want to make a difference. They want to understand homelessness. And they did it by getting involved, not by reading newspapers or books or watching television. It's a one-on-one interaction. So, and it just is the same thing as when I was here. If you listen to these two, I learned so much.
I see Kristen getting very emotional hearing your story. And Kristen, you're working with guests today. Do you hear echoes of the things that, you know, the guests you're working with are going through right now? Or what are you thinking about that makes you so emotional hearing George's story?
Like I said, when guests say, you know, like what you said reminded me of like this experience, or I think that you should read this. And I've had a guest, like I'm an art student, I've had a guest like bring in articles for me. It's that, and I think that the opportunity for that exchange, and a lot of times it's in those moments of, here, I have something that I want to teach you. It's not the moments where I'm like, oh, here's some resources, like here's how you apply for food stamps.
Do you expect to have lifelong relationships with the guests that you meet?
I have email contact with a couple guests who were staying with us last year, one who now is in permanent housing, who we email every few months. And that contact is really valuable for me. I have another guest who I occasionally, like, we meet up in the square for coffee. And she talks to me about Buddhism and will read my aura and will tell me about, what are these, like, reading your palm. Yeah. I find that's that kind of contact and those kind of relationships are, like, really what makes this place so special for me.
We're visiting the only homeless shelter in the country that's run entirely by college students. It's the Harvard Square Homeless Shelter, and it's been operating for more than 25 years. Student volunteers run it, and it's open for 5 months out of the year, providing a place to sleep for 24 adults each night. The volunteers are all Harvard students. Earlier, we heard from two juniors who work at the shelter. George Caponigro was one of the shelter's guests many years back. He credits the place with helping him get back on his feet. I met up with George at the shelter and asked him if he ever felt like the students looked down on him. They were the privileged ones. He was homeless.
There is a feeling, and I found it pre-people coming into the shelter. Yeah, these are rich kids. They're spoiled. What are they? You know. All of that kind of thing. Of course there's some of that out there until they come here and stay. It's just a special place. And you know what makes it greater? If more colleges across the country could experience this. Because with homeless people, you're dealing with every aspect of human condition. You're dealing with some of the most afflicted people. And in retrospect, looking back at this place, they call it an emergency shelter. It's not what I call it. I call it intensive care. Because when I came in here, that's what I got, intensive care.
We're also joined by Scott Sider. He is the author of Shelter, Where Harvard Meets the Homeless, and he's an assistant professor of education at Boston University. And you were once a Harvard student, right, who worked in the shelter. Take us back to the history of how this shelter started.
Sure. The shelter got started in 1983. You know, prior to the 1980s, there wasn't a significant homeless problem in cities like Boston across the United States, and as a result of a number of different factors. In the early 1980s, there was an explosion of people contending with homelessness. And as a result, Harvard Square began filling with men and women, you know, in need of shelter. And in fact, at that time, Boston only had one or two homeless shelters. And so the faith community in Cambridge got together, pastors and ministers and rabbis from a number of different organizations got together and decided that they were going to sponsor one meal a week. And very quickly, about 150 people started showing up to this weekly meal.
So it started with the meals, and it progressed to realizing that after feeding these people who really needed help, there was nowhere for them to go but back out on the street to sleep.
In that first season in 1983, it was really a joint effort of, you know, church congregants and graduate students and undergraduates all pitching in to kind of get this shelter up and running. And over time, the undergraduate population was the population that began to play an increasingly significant role in the running of the shelter. And within just a few years, it was an entirely student-run affair.
What attracts young adults to this work, and what makes them well-suited to do it?
One thing to think about as someone who studies adolescents and emerging adults is that emerging adulthood represents what we think of as the peak period of identity exploration, which means that it's the period of life in which, you know, individuals have in many cases have sort of moved away from their nuclear families, and as a result are reaching out for new perspectives and new ways of understanding the world.
As we heard from Kristen and Jacob, they're learning as much from the homeless people who stay here as they're teaching them. Is that a common experience?
I mean, I think that's what makes the Harvard Square Shelter such an extraordinary place, because it's this incredibly symbiotic relationship between the homeless men and women who are staying here and the students who are volunteering here.
It's the only student-run homeless shelter in the country, right? And I'm wondering if you think, as I heard George say, that, you know, there should be more. More of our college students should learn how other people live and how difficult it can be for other people.
One of the reasons I wrote the book was to make the argument for the replication of the student-run model in major cities that have both a university population and a homeless population, which, you know, which unfortunately is quite a number of cities in the United States, because I really do think that, you know, the Harvard Square Shelter runs, you know, 7 nights a week for the 5 months of the winter on less than $60,000 a year, you know, which is less than the cost of one full-time employee. And, you know, so A, it's providing shelter at a very low cost to 30 homeless men and women a night, while at the same time providing this incredible learning opportunity at the Harvard Square Shelter, approximately 150 volunteers. They're going to go out into the world, you know, as graduates of a university, in this case Harvard University, and they're going to be leaders in the professions that they choose to take up in the communities in which they live. And I think that when you imagine communities taking up issues like, should we build more affordable housing within our community, I think that when I think about having citizens of that community who've had personal experiences with the homeless and can speak to the humanity of the men and women that they've encountered, I think that those individuals have the opportunity to have an enormous impact on the communities in which they live and the professions in which they work.
Let me turn now back to one of these students, Jacob, and ask you, has it had an impact on your worldview and what you may do in the future for your future career?
Certainly. I mean, I'm a pre-med student, so I am looking into medicine. But this work at the shelter has definitely shown me that whatever I'm doing in my life, I have to be doing something in public service. It certainly had a profound impact on my worldview and the way I live my life.
My final thought on how this place affected me has to be a spiritual one. You know, I found it so ironic that I lived in public every day, all day, and I felt invisible. I felt like there was this invisible bubble. And homeless people watch the world. They don't participate. When I came here, not only did I have the interaction with the students, but they got me a job at Harvard in the halls. I was cooking. And when they came by and, hey, George, how you doing today? And, you know, I'd cook for them, and the smiles, it's the intangibles.
That's George Caponigro, who used to be a guest at the Harvard Square Homeless Shelter. We also heard from student volunteers George Cederbaum and Kristen Cronin, and Boston University Assistant Professor Scott Sider, who used to work at the shelter while a Harvard undergrad. He's written a book about that experience called Shelter, Where Harvard Meets the Homeless.